Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Tonight, the topic is Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within, and our guest tonight is Rashmi Kalnani, and she's joining us from London. She's had the willpower to stay up late. It's probably 2 o'clock in the morning there, or somewhere in that arena. We're going to bring her on in just a moment, but I wanted, you know, we're going to be talking about this Buddha nature within, and I'm going to just generalize that and say the divine nature within. We're all a soul having a human experience here on planet Earth. And so often we can have a mythology or a story that hinges around a savior, a lord, a mystic, and certainly they are the guides to show us the way. And yet the last mile of our divinity, the last mile of us self-realizing is when we go into that oneness, that non-local space, if you will, where there is no symbols, there is no language, it's pure consciousness, it's pure love, it's pure unconditional love. And as you go on your own personal journey and purify yourself and hone your own authenticity, then you are the persona, as we all are, you are the persona of the divine. And all the previous sages in the past have not had such a rich environment in which to convey that passion, that compassion that comes from within us to the collective consciousness of humanity. Jesus didn't have Twitter or Facebook. Muhammad didn't have 3D printing. We have global publishing. We have the ability to, like tonight, I'm talking to Rashmi in London, and I'm here in Boulder, Colorado. We're in a new paradigm. We're in such a rich, fertile environment for change, and certainly everyone knows that the collective heart of humanity is hungry for a new storyline, a new paradigm. So when you connect with that divinity within you now, and this episode tonight is going to hit that spot on, when you connect with that through your own authentic nature and then turn around and convey it in you, through you, as you, you are bringing heaven to earth. You are embodying that field of unconditional love at the core of all of us. And that's what I like about tonight's show. Rashmi embodies this so well. She teaches and practices several healing modalities and has taught Reiki masters, doctors, scientists, and others from many walks of life the secret of the Mystery School teachings. She is a global metaphysical teacher, urban shaman, international lecturer, artist, seminar leader, and TV personality. Rashmi is the host of 2013 and Beyond with Jeremy McDonald, heard monthly on blogtalkradio.com. She is the author of The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart. How sweet is that? Our topic tonight, her book, Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within. And she also has a book, Shiva Speaks, Conversation with Maha Maha Avatar Babaji. Join me in welcoming Rashmi to the show. I'm so glad you joined us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your show, Les. Namaste from London.
Namaste from Boulder, Colorado. So what brought you to write a book about the Buddha nature within?
Well, I had just channeled The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, which is the goddess Hathor speaking through me for humanity, and it's Energy Mastery Made Simple, Reiki Energy Mastery Made Simple, Egyptian Mystery School Made Simple, and about the wake-up time and the energies of the Divine Feminine rising in the hearts of men and women now, which is not a gender thing. And Robert Friedman, my publisher, suggested I channel a book on the Buddha, and I said, well, I don't just do that, you know, to order type of thing. I don't think it's going to happen. But I came back to London and I felt this other aspect of my higher self voice speak. It was the Buddha speaking, Buddha nature within speaking. And so I did channel that book, and it was a different energy to the Divine Mother book, you know. So it was very interesting. And I asked questions to the Buddha about the Buddha wisdom for the now time, and how to bridge the mundane with the spiritual life and the wisdoms he taught so long ago in this now wake-up time.
I really like the question-answer nature of the book, too, when you pose a question to the Buddha, and sometimes you get laughter back, and it has a real... organic feel to it, where you're truly having a conversation, and the wisdom of the Buddha is very evident in the reply. So it just draws a picture in my mind. You're talking about it's almost like the Buddha was showing up waiting in line for you, for your persona to channel a story. I can just see, like at a restaurant, all the ascended masters have lined up waiting for their turn to channel through you.
Well, you know, as I say in all my radio shows, my higher self, the I Am presence, and all that is one. And so I don't see myself separate to Buddha, Jesus, Mahavatar, Babaji, the Divine Mother energies. It's all one in the unified field of consciousness. And there's a chapter in the first book, The Divine Mother Speaks, on absolute and relative reality. So in absolute reality, we are the unified field of consciousness at the center, at the core. And on the periphery, we get to be the individual, the personality, you know, the human, the profession, whatever, you know, name, nationality, and all these other different categories we all have. And so within that, it's all oneness, you know, anyways. But I was channeling the masters and the archangelics for a long time. It began when I became a psychic surgeon in Reiki, and then when I had all the different initiations and to all the different types of Reiki energy mastery to become one of the senior teachers of Reiki energy masters across the globe into the wisdom teachings of all time. And then during people's sessions, you know, having teaching multiple modalities of energy medicine, different beings would come through. And very often it wasn't logical, because a person would say, I'm Buddhist, and Jesus would come through, for example.
Right.
And they say, oh, well, I'm a Buddhist, but I believe in Jesus, you know, based on their guides. So very interesting. And I don't really write my books. I just channel I just them out in 21 sessions.
Right. Over time, have you ever channeled something that caught you off guard, in the sense that the response or the information was new and different to you?
Not really, but I think that the way it comes through is just always mind-blowing. And the energies, because basically what happens is I would create an altar to Buddha or Shiva or the Divine Mother, and then I would either pace up and down or lie on a sofa and look out in a garden. And my colleague, who's also done energy mastery and teaches multiple modalities, would get on the computer after we'd meditated and chanted. And then the way it would come out was just unbelievable, you know. And but the energy, you know, because what happens is the energy would come through, and then I have the gift of being able to quickly translate the energy into words.
Because we're taught, I mean, these ascended masters are multidimensional beings, and we, the human part of us, the little self, is such a 3D linear thinking kind of entity. It's quite a task to take that non-linear communication, because it's not a sequence of sentences. It's like the way I teach.
When I teach as well, I teach in a very non-linear way, because the whole idea is to get people out of their minds and into their hearts and into the more expanded field of consciousness. Because, you know, Reiki and advanced sound wave energy therapy, that is inaudible sound and sacred geometry and all mystery school teachings, there's nothing linear about them, really. You know, there may be a linear aspect, but there isn't. And so that's exactly right. The energies of each of the different beings, they have different flavors, because basically these archetypal energies are in each and every one of us.
Sure.
And so, and then many of these energies, like Metatron now, has become my guardian angel. And he was saying the other day, we, and I joked, and I said, oh, the royal we. And he said, it's androgyne, really. It's like, it's a force field of energy. It's not a person even, you know. It could be a group energy.
And
Christ energy is the same.
They have such a benevolent love for us, such an unconditional love for us. When we reach that innermost space of our divine essence within us, it's not symbols and sentencing doesn't have a place there. It's an experiential type of a thing where we feel it in our heart. We feel it in our hearts, and it's a truth that we experience. It's not a
ego. It's a feeling as opposed to thinking, and that's what I made this film called I, God, with Neil Donald Walsh and Robert Friedman, my publisher, and we have Deepak Chopra, James Wan Prague, Marion Williamson. You can get the books and the film on iTunes and Amazon and so on. And my website, rashmikilnani.com. But anyway, in the film, people are asked 5 questions, or people off the street, heads of the different states, religious denominations, and you know, I'm speaking from the best perspective, the universal life force energy perspective, and everybody's asked, do you believe in right? Do you believe in God? You know, do you believe in right? That God believes that, you know, there's a right and wrong, heaven and hell, and so on. And I'm the only one probably in the whole film that says it, or one of the only ones, that says God is not a belief. God is an experiential understanding, as you've just said, Les. And that it comes through coming out of the mind and connecting to the knowing body, or the experience of, you know, becoming one with all that is, through painting, singing, looking at a sunset, or through some sort of transcendental experiences we get in initiations or meditation or through Shaktipat and so on.
Right.
And the Buddha speaks to the Buddha nature within can really help people right now, because these books are very multidimensional and they carry the energy behind the words. And as you said, you know, just having the book by your bedside, as you found, it has energy even if you don't actually read it.
It does have a very clean essence to it. It's very pure. It's not diluted by dogma or stigma.
Spirituality. It's not religion. It's, you know, none of my books have anything to do with religion. Essence of the mysticism and the spiritual and the energies, you know, very practical as well, very simple And yet it can be quite intense because the mind wants complexity, and everything boils down to truth, simplicity, and love, which is covered in the third book, Shiva Speaks. So the Buddha Speaks is very much about, being the detached witness of all that is, the mind, body, and the intellect, for example.
In the book, you talk about, I might pronounce it wrong, neti neti, neither this or that. Can you explain that practice?
Well, on the path, we could either choose to sing, I am this and that, as in everything, and that's the harder part. And the slightly easier part is neti neti, which is, I am neither this nor that. And so through negation, you come to high truth. You can't actually come to the highest truth through direct means. You come through it through negation of that which you aren't. So we're not just a body. We're not just the mind. We're not the nationality. We're not just earthlings. We're not even just multidimensional. Ultimately, we actually come from nothingness, which is nothingness, which in Buddhism is Mahamudra. And it's the zero-point energy, it's the black hole energy. And so all unmanifest reality gives birth to manifest reality. And I'm particularly a teacher of this because in the West, even the greatest so-called mystics and people sometimes have an issue with nothingness, brings up a lot of terror that of dissolving, because it's not just the mind dissolving, everything's dissolving at that point, including all the dimensions and the solar flares and all the new age stuff and the, this master and that master, it all goes into, and that's where Buddha was incredible, because he even did away with the idea of God and goddesses, or he just went into this nothingness energy, which we access in meditation, for example.
Sure, it's at the core of all of us. As soon as you,
yes.
if I'm in non-local space, if I'm not dimensional in that nothingness. And the moment I create a propensity or a polarization or preference, I'm creating a standing wave of energy, which becomes a karmic stigma, because I have this preference, if you will. But what I find curious is, because for myself, I mean, for decades now, I've been meditating and scrubbing my psyche and doing energy work on myself and whatnot. And then the divine is like, dude, don't, it's kind of weird where you let go of yourself completely. But in truth, when you're done with it, your own authenticity, I would say it this way, your authentic self and your enlightened self are the same self. In other words, there's not a single template or persona or righteousness that defines divinity in humanity. There's rather 7 billion different flavors of divinity expressed. And when we honor our own authenticity, we are the divine idea. We are the divine idea of our own persona, if you will.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, exactly. The divine comes in all these shapes and forms as a manifestation of the potential, pure potentiality. And that's covered so well now in quantum physics as well, So physics is, science is finally catching up with metaphysics, because in current time, science has become so important, whereas for eons, metaphysics was much more important. And of course, that's coming back again now to an understanding, because, you have the known, the unknown, and the unknowable as well. And the unknowable, I would say, is that pure potentiality where, you know, this plus that, and that pattern can give you any number of, you know, probable realities spinning forward. So, in the Buddha speaks, really, it's all about non-doership, for example, which is, you know, to try and get the I out of the way, and try is not a very good word, but it's like, you know, there is no one really doing anything. And so you become the detached witness, and it is being done through you.
Right.
And so the I begins to dissolve. I mean, it's kind of weird when you explain it with language. It comes out really well where you get an experiential understanding of non-doership.
Well, you talked about dissolving of the I, and the image that popped in my mind was the movie The Wizard of Oz, and the Wicked Witch of the West gets water on her and she dissolves into nothingness. And it's kind of like the ego clinging on to a sense of self as it slowly dissolves, and the I am with the part of us that has no sense of self, that lucid sense of self, is revealed.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the
I had channeled the book right now, I would have asked him a lot more questions about ascension.
Well, let's get him on the show.
There we go.
I'm sure he's somewhere.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Why not? You got to ask me some questions.
We all come from the one mind, so we're all connected all the time. What the hell?
What the heaven?
Indeed. So in the Buddha Speaks, what would you say the difference between absolute and relative reality is?
Well, I just explained that to you. So in absolute reality, you are part of the unified field of consciousness at the core. All is one. And at the periphery, you get to be the personality self, the flavor, the different, you know, the nationality, the profession, the, you know, all the uniqueness that you wish for. But at the core, when we meditate, we all go to that same place. And all is one. And the third book, Om Namah Shivaya, that's the meaning of Om Namah Shivaya. People think it's just Mahavatar Babaji in that body, this body. We think it's this body, it wasn't that body, etc., etc. And the truth is, Om Namah Shivaya means everything is Shiva. The stone, planets, orbits, everything.
Gravity, electricity, time, space.
Yeah, even Hitler's got Shiva in at the core.
Sure. So that,
you know,
that absolute
all,
is
it's all one. Yeah.
It that infinite potential, that undefined potential.
Well, it's that absolute core is as we've said, unmanifest reality. It's the nothingness energy, the Mahamudra energy, which is silent, which is nothingness, which is deep space, which is void. Which is what the creator before creator had a thought. When
right.
Time creator
yes,
had
yes.
a thought, the thought was the word. The word was Om. Om is the primordial sound of the universe. And so the prime creator got bored or whatever it was and decided to experience itself. And so when
sure.
it decided to experience itself, then there were subject objects that got created. So basically from that sound Om, an emanation went out, you know, from the nothingness energy. A somethingness went out, and the somethingness was sound. And then there was light, you know. And light is information. My name, Rashmi, means moonlight and sunlight. And the first book is the goddess Hathor, which, you know, is the sun and moonlight as well. She impulsed many golden ages in Egypt. And now we are impulsing a golden age as such as has never happened before in the universe, which is for 7 billion to awaken to unity consciousness, Christ consciousness, that absolute reality, not just as a theoretical thing or a study out of the Vedas or a certain number of us understanding it, but everybody beginning to get it through the 100 monkey syndrome and to be totally human and divine at the same time without leaving the body.
The political engine here in the United States is providing a lot of monkeys for that 100 monkey notation.
The political arena in India, in England, it's all the same thing. 3D reality as we know it is collapsing, and to give it too much importance, I mean, you know, of course, we are a bridge, and it's also about being human, and so you have to give it, you know, it has a relevance or it wouldn't be. But the where we are moving now is fifth dimensional frequency, which is about being here and now, which Buddha, you know, throughout the book, it's all about how to become very present, bring your presence to the present moment through your presence, give yourself the present, and so and that's beyond time and space, that frequency. And then once you're beyond time and space, then you're not just in the fifth dimensional frequency. You can be spinning in any number of dimensions and in the nothingness energy at the same time. And as I keep saying, that's where I find in the new age or the newer, newer age, whatever you want to call it, is they miss out the nothingness energy somehow. Well, they talk about zero point and things, but, you know, one needs to really begin to experience that, understand that, and work around feeling less fear around that. You know, we all feel fear of the unknown. I mean, even I do. But it's about facing it. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I really liked what you said about what's happening here on Earth is something that hasn't happened before in the galaxy. For myself, my soul put me in front of really big-ass television transmitters that would make 1 million watts of power. This is way before my spiritual awakening. I was an engineer for a long time, and had you talked to me then, that would have been my only sense of self. And what I'm getting at here is my soul put me here to language the power of divine love. And I suggest to you what is incredibly unique about this evolving of our human consciousness is that not only are 7 billion people coming into the awakening of their Christ consciousness or divinity, but in consciousness by itself, whether it's human consciousness or any form of divine consciousness, power comes from how connected to source we are or how disconnected from source we are. If we were all enlightened beings on the planet right now, there'd be no opportunity for us to conduit unconditional love as an exception to the norm, because we would all be love. But on this planet, so many souls over many, many, many lifetimes journeyed to the very edge of darkness. In fact, here on this planet, we build a nuclear war machine that could have ended life on the planet. We went to the edge of death itself. In other words, we created the most differential from unconditional love to the total denial of love. And through the how wide that span is, that's raw power. And so for you to live in this darkness on this planet, for you to embody unconditional love on this planet in this time is the most powerful opportunity that exists in the galaxy to be unconditional love in such darkness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. And that's why I say that in the current time, the heaven on earth energy is not just about being divine anymore, or just about being human. It's about both. So I am the goddess. I am that I am. I am one with the ascended masters and archangelics. All is one. The universe is within me, but at the same time, I'm also a personality. I'm human. I have emotions. I can get mad. You know.
Sure.
I can lapse from unconditional love sometime, possibly. And I don't know how that's going to play out, because that there are no role models for that. I mean, I'm an ascension pioneer, and I feel fully my avataric energy now, but I also feel very, very human. And I know that part of that is because I'm a bridge of dimensions, but it's not just that. It's because that's what's going to happen for everybody now. And
yes.
So, you know, there are times I would love to have a role model, but there aren't any. There aren't any, because Jesus did it different. That was a different frequency. That was the Piscean time. And Akhenaton, that was a different time. Buddha was a different time. This is Prime Creator itself is like, wow, you know, what's going to happen? We're going to outmake the Maker, as Barbara Marciniak channeled so beautifully, the Pleiadians and Bringers of the Dawn. Oh, well, The Family of Light, her third book or something. I can't remember now which one it was. And so it's a very exciting time, because all of consciousness is constantly evolving, including the ascended masters. In the case of the Buddha, I'm not so sure, because I think the Buddha energy went back into the void, you know?
Right. You touch on that in your book.
That's what I channel, is that he comes from, he then goes back into the silence, back into the nothingness, into the stillness, into the, you know, dissolving. But can come backwards and forwards, obviously. As Bodhisattvas, for example, or there were many other Buddhas that walked the earth. We all have the Buddha potential within us, and that's why, really, I was channeling my own Buddha nature, which exists in each and every one of us.
Right, and you do it so well. The languaging in the book was so eloquent and graceful. It was quite evident that the compassion of the language is quite prominent. Well, you know, we came here to be trailblazers, and the reason we don't have role models is because we're not on a trail. We're making a trail.
We are Prime Creator energy now. Making the Maker, she said so beautifully in Family of Light. That was one of the last chapters of the book, Out Making the Maker. And that's what evolution is always about, because Prime Creator is always working on experiencing itself in a multitude of totally unique and new ways, you know. But then universal law is always paradoxical. So it's new, and at the same time, it's eternal. Nothing is new. And time is simultaneous anyway. So this is a construct. Time is not an absolute. And as it begins to collapse, which is happening, that's when this multidimensional nature that we already are begins to bleed through. And each time I do a radio broadcast, it's like a transmission. And I never know what I'm going to say, you know. Today as well, just now, when what I just said was like, wow, even to me just now. So if I listen to the replay of this, I'll learn something as well, as in my human part will, you know, my mind part that goes, oh, God, when will these ascension symptoms end?
So how has your life been influenced by the Buddha's life?
Well, I had I was married to a very rich man, and I had homes across the globe. And then I wanted to study meditation because I was very restless. And I was in Dubai. I thought there's no way it's going to happen there. But I met this American chap who was head of creative director of Lintas, which was an advertising company. And he just observed that I was on the royal path, which I didn't quite understand, and that meant on the spiritual path. And anyway, he was a Buddhist, and he said he would teach me meditation, and I was thrilled. But that changed my life, and I just left the kingdom of homes and my husband and went to zero and wanted to teach meditation in London 24 years ago. And for 24 years now, I've held the frequency of nothingness, stillness, meditation in Kensington, London, for the planet, because this is like an epicenter. Kensington, London, is an epicenter on the world for the global village. And once again, I'm on an edge where I don't know where more money will come from, because 9 years I've lived in the cave of a hotel, and 9 years ago I sold the temple where I lived for many years and taught Reiki masters and other healers from across the globe. But I know that once again I'll be taken to zero, and but I'll be flying again somehow, you know.
Sure. It's in and out, like breathing.
I don't know for sure, but yeah.
So what would you say the connection is between Buddhism and the Mayan calendar ending?
Well, I'm not a Buddhist, so I wouldn't be able to answer that question, because Buddha was not a Buddhist. I'm not a Buddhist.
Well, it's on your media questions list. You know that.
With the Mayan calendar?
Yeah.
Is that the way the question is asked? That's the first time I've been asked that question. But no, I would still stick with what I'm saying. I'm not a Buddhist, and nor is the Buddha. So the Mayan calendar and the wisdom of the Buddha is that, which part of the Mayan calendar do you mean? I mean, what exactly are you asking?
I'm asking a question.
You need to understand what you're asking, Mirana. Yeah, well,
I'm asking. Okay.
It
suggests.
For you, what is your question? You know what I mean?
Well. Yeah.
Which part of the Mayan calendar do you mean? You mean that we've come to 0 point? You mean that there's going to be a big shift?
Well, for myself, when 2012 happened, which was the end of the Mayan calendar, I think of things in frequency. And if you display a frequency on a test equipment, there's a rise and a fall. And then you talk with voice, and it gets a very complicated waveform. The sense I got of the 2012 transition was many, many, many cycles of our human story all came to a zero point during the end of that calendar to start yet again another cycle of the next chapter, if you will, of our human story. And perhaps that's the Buddhism of that is
exactly.
Like we've been talking this
exactly.
whole episode.
So we've been talking about Mahamudra, which is nothingness energy. And that's, you know, I've been saying it's synonymous to me, at least, with zero point energy in a way. The Mahamudra is even more than zero point energy, but I mean, let's just, you know, stay with that, because in the Sanskrit word is shunya. Shunya means zero, but it doesn't just mean zero in the Western meaning of zero, you know. It literally means nothingness.
Right.
You know, total, yeah, void. And so, yeah, that is how I would connect it to those two. Really, all the wisdom teachings come to the basic same essence, you know.
Sure.
Absolute and relative realities and manifest, unmanifest is covered in every single mystical understanding, whether it's Shiva's wisdom or Buddha's wisdom, or even in, with the Jesus's seen wisdom, it's covered through the energy of the chalice. And in Egyptian mystery school, it's covered through, and there's a chapter I have on the archetypal energies of the universe in The Divine Mother Speaks, and that's covered in Egyptian mystery school through the energy of Nephthys, which is, she's the goddess of nothingness, void.
Well, if you've ever tried to have a conversation with somebody who's got a really, really busy mind that jumps around like a drunk housefly, the meditation, the gift of that is to bring us to that zero point, that emptiness within us. As we quiet our own mind, as we quiet our own personal energy, if you will, it's from that stillness, it's from that emptiness, that what was subtle to a busy mind, that was what was really indiscernible to a busy mind, becomes observable when you're in that zero point. If you're in that space of nothingness, anything becomes discernible with that nothingness as the background, if you will.
Exactly. And because that is the essence of reality. And so, you know, when people go, oh, wow, I just worked on heart initiation for 120 people close to Stonehenge, and these were just normal people of different levels of soul journeying, and it was a huge experiment, because normally I work with spiritual leaders across the globe and people like Leonard Orr and Reiki masters that have studied, da-da-da. And it was a hands-down success. And, you know, when people go like, wow, you're amazing, Rashmi, whatever, I said, you know, I'm nothing. And so one or two of them said, yeah, like the fool in the tarot, which is another similar energy. And from that nothingness, I can be whatever I want. I can be the Buddha energy, the Shiva energy, the goddess energy, the child energy, the divine mother energy, you know, the fool energy. So that's exactly right. That's the magic of zero point. But you were saying that you can quieten the mind. That's a tricky one. That's where all three books are really powerful in helping people to begin. You can't tell your mind to be quiet, because the mind is like a dragon with 100 heads. And if you chop one head off, and 99 will come up. And so that's where, you know, there's not just a quick fire answer to these things. As you've said, you know, but these books are very powerful. They're multidimensional. They're handbooks that you work with for ages, for their lifetime. You can have it by your bedside. Just read one line and meditate with that, breathe with that. There are tools in each of the three books for ascension, for quietening the mind, but it's not done directly by telling the mind to be quiet.
Yeah.
That's never, ever, 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 ever going to work. So, you know, that's where these books, the film, the radio shows, they're all on my website, rashmikilnani.com. They're for free, the radio shows. They have transmissions, and there's no like, oh, well, that show's now reached a sell-by date. Because these are timeless transmissions. You know, they're the wisdom teachings made simple. And so whichever show you listen to, even from 6 years back, even when I re-listen to my shows, I learn something. My human side is always learning something, because they're multidimensional. Each time you get something different, it triggers something different. Or it also, the words and the shows and the film and all, but it works as well. But the shows and the books, they fire your encodings. They fire the DNA encodings, but always within free will and the higher good.
Right.
Never done, you know, like a force-fed thing. You know, some people can read them intellectually, and then then you're going to have an intellectual understanding, which is a good baby step, you know. But you
sure.
can't, you then have to move on and take that little jump and take it in baby steps. Or like people say, how do we open our hearts, or how do we heal the human heart, or how do we learn to feel when for 26,000 years it's in our DNA to think and control and manipulate and dominate, which is all aspects of the mind. And it's like, you know, when the Divine Mother speaks, it gives you the baby steps. It's very simple, but it's extremely intense and powerful. And then suddenly you find you're floating, or suddenly you find you're bicycling. Suddenly you find your heart is opening in appropriate spaces and protecting itself in inappropriate spaces. You don't just open up in the middle of the tube in Russia or London, you know, or with some sort of psychopath, you know, I fell in love with a psychopath because I was told to open my heart. Not like that, you know. So it's a divine balance thing. And you can invoke all these energies within you, like of grounding earth. And now it's time to ground the energy. So, you know, the Buddha, in this book, Buddha speaks to the Buddha nature within. It has a lot of the energy of love as well in it. Which sometimes, if I'm reading some Buddhist book from years ago, I can't remember, but or even just talking to Buddhist teachers, sometimes I find that love energy sometimes is a little bit missing, you know? In any religious thing, sometimes it tends to be missing. And, if energy is not of truth, simplicity, and love, then better to run away.
Right.
If it's too complicated... If it's too complicated, you know, that's not the current frequency. In the current frequency, it's simplicity. The heart is simple. The mind is complicated. You know, the heart is all-inclusive. The mind is exclusive. I like this, but I don't like that. The mind is always oscillating in the polarities. The heart is always, you know, as Zen Koan says, when the heart is still, the 10,000 things are without blame. When the heart is still, the 10,000 things are without blame. And then the third eye, the Buddhi mind, that is what the Buddha Speaks book helps with, you know. But unless we ground our heart energy, ground the wisdom of the Buddhi mind, and that's covered in the Divine Mother Speaks book a lot, and in Shiva Speaks with the purification through the sacred elements, you know, and praise and gratitude for earth, water, fire, air, ether, which exist within us and outside of us that make manifest reality. And so, you know, as we align and balance these energies, and it's all through simple attention plus intention equals manifestation. So things are really simple, you know, if we just allow. In the new energy, it's about allowing. We did this little allowance dance in one of the so-called workshops I gave, and everybody was so happy with this allowance dance. You know, it's like you allow things to come to you. You allow things to come to you. You play. You play in reality, you know, like the divine child. And in the new frequency, it's not about, you know, this 9-to-5 and making money and and push-pull and competition. None of that energy is going to work anymore. If it's not of cooperation, if it's not a win-win, you know, like you and I, Les, we are for heaven on earth. We're not just about me and my books and me and, you know what I mean? It's,
oh, sure.
You know, in my radio show, I at the moment it's taken a slight backseat, the radio shows that I personally host. But as and when I do them, you know, it's about bringing other people on. It's about sharing wisdom. On Facebook, I'm sharing so much wisdom of so many people, so many streams, so many. And until we learn to come out of that me into we, and that doesn't mean not loving yourself, because loving yourself is the most important thing. It's like the infinity symbol, the Egyptian infinity symbol, covered in the Divine Mother Speaks book. You start with yourself, you love yourself, you work on that, and then you work on meditation, you allow it, and then that love overflows, And then you learn to, you automatically want to serve everybody and love everybody else.
Yes.
And that's how it goes. And so it's an amazing time to be alive. And everybody can, you know, be an author, film producer, radio show host. I've done 100 paintings. And, you know, in the last year since I had cancer 10 years ago, having facilitated in the healing of many people with cancer, I chose it to learn humility of the physical Chiron wounded healer to heal and to show transmutation by taking on the allopathic route of chemo, radio, all of that, being cut twice, even though I knew as a psychic surgeon, and then teaching Reiki in hospital after my second operation, teaching psychic surgery. And so I just kind of lost myself there, sorry, with the energy. Sometimes the energy is so high.
No worries.
What was I talking about?
I like what you're sharing. Well,
yeah. So,
when you find that place...
We can all become everything. Sorry?
When you find that place of unconditional love for yourself, I think that's where the... there's no other choice but to have compassion for others that have not found that for themselves. It's a nature of love. Hey, you know, time goes by pretty fast, and I want to make sure that we get the audience connected with your books and whatnot. Can you share with us everything you want our audience to know about you and how to get in touch?
So I think you'll put my websites on your links there. It's rashmikilnani.com, RashmikilNani.com, rashmikilnani.com. And igotthefilm.com. I'm also on Facebook, and there are pages for each of the books. The books are all available on Amazon, Nook, Kindle. And the film is available on iTunes and Beyond Words. And Amazon as well. And people can follow me on Facebook because I share a lot of stuff. And as I said, each of the books, I have an author, Rashmi Kilnani, page as well on Facebook. So, you know, I sold the roof over my head. I sold everything I had to do the mission of helping humanity, facilitating in the wake-up time. And that's why these books and film were asked. I work for Babaji, Christ Yogi Babaji, who's here to take 7 billion into unity consciousness. And he requested I channel these books and make a film bringing together the spiritual leaders of America and the world and people off the street and so on. And it all happened.
Well, I want to tell you that the compassion you have for humanity is palatable. It's quite evident that you live from your heart. Your service to humanity comes from a place of deep love and compassion. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for being our guest on the show tonight.
Thank you so much, Les. And I hope that we can have you over to London sometime and work together sometime in mainstream television, as we said, or whatever it's going to be in the future, where, you know, there's value given for this, because this work that all of us do, because as you said, you know, humanity so now is looking for the new way to be and the new baby steps in the new paradigm. So you know, thank you for all you are and all you do as well. And I hope we connect again for one of the other books or whatever on another show. Many blessings.
Thank you. We've been talking with Rashmi Kilnani, and you can just, I think there's an eloquence that happens with your language, with your sentencing that, especially when there's been decades of service to humanity, I guess the feeling I'm looking for is grace. in that that there's no pretense. It is just grace personified. And I think Rashmi does that so well. It's quite evident that she is a personification of that divine love, and she brings it out so well. I encourage you to get her books and engage her material, because she has such an authentic voice. You know, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, you the listener, you listening to this right now, your soul had a vision for your life before you were even born. It was handpicked for you. You have a purpose, and this purpose is compatible with your happiness. In fact, I would suggest that to know satisfaction at a very deep level, to know a sense of fulfillment at a very deep level, is to get your ego to understand from the ego's perspective how wonderful your life can be if your ego pulls over and lets your heart and soul drive. Now, your heart and your soul can be very, very powerful. And to the untrained ego, the ego wants to clamp down and shut down when powerful ideas, powerful feelings start showing up from within us. But if you can teach your ego to trust the vision of your soul, the passion of your heart, now that's a simple sentence. But if you can teach your ego to trust your heart and your soul, then from your ego's perspective, an uncommon life starts to come flowing out of you as you. The ego kind of steps aside, if you will, and the heart and the soul sets the path, sets the journey, and the ego drives the car. The ego handles the mechanics of fulfilling that inspiration. Now, it's not an overnight thing where you just have a quick chit-chat with your ego and poof, you're there. I suggest it takes some discernment and some effort to get that trust to be genuine. So often we'll have an inspiration from our heart and our soul, and the very next sentence we pop it up in our head and start rationalizing it. Our heart will say, well, why don't you take dance classes? And poof, it's up in our head. Well, hell, I don't know how to dance. The dance place is 20 minutes away. I don't have time for that. And our ego gets in the way. But the trained ego says, what, dance? Really? I wrote a book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, that teaches you how to bring your ego into alignment with your heart and your soul and fulfill your life purpose at a level that honors your own divinity. Take the time to find that authentic voice within you, that genuine, authentic inspiration, and bring it out into effect in your everyday life. That's where you're going to find happiness today, heaven today. The only day we'll ever be able to experience heaven on earth is in this day. I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's been a pleasure bringing you interviews like this, because you're a powerful person. We all are. And when we all show up in that divine, authentic power, we change the direction of our human story. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.